fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. You're tuned in to Fire on the Earth, and today I'm going to continue to talk about some of the fundamentals of the new evangelization, or to put it even more simply, what did Jesus commission the apostles to say and to do? There's a lot there, but there's at the very core, we can see it. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program the last couple of days, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. All these programs and Sister Anne's programs, Food for the Journey, television programs, The Choices We Face and Crossing the Goal, they can all be accessed there on the website. There's a lot of wonderful, helpful, free material on the website that you can read at your own leisure. You can download it, print it out if you'd like. Also, you can take a peek at the missions page, what we're doing, different ways in which we're working across the world. Here in 2015, we're doing about 45 international missions, working with bishops, priests, lay people on the ground in about 35 different countries, helping move forward the church's great mission and commission to go make disciples of all nations. And so this week, I've been talking about that simple central truth that Jesus underlined with the apostles as he commissioned them in Luke's account post-resurrection. That is the first time Jesus met with the apostles together in the upper room in Luke's Gospel 24. The scripture says Jesus opened the minds of the apostles to the teaching of the scripture. And what he opened their minds to was that the Messiah, the one Israel was waiting for, came to die. He came to die as a sacrifice for sin, but that he was to be raised from the dead. And they were looking right at him. Jesus said, "It's now fulfilled. I came for sin. I came to destroy sin and sin's power so human beings could live their ultimate destiny with God the Father. I've come to recapture an enslaved race of people who are in need of redemption and salvation." He said, so he then commissions them by saying, "Go forward now and preach. Bear witness to what you see, that I'm risen from the dead, and preach," he said, "repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations in my name." So when you talk about preaching the gospel, you're preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins. The element, the core element of that preaching is the fact of Jesus' dying and rising. He's the Lord now. He's vindicated with all authority. It all belongs to him. He's come to restore everything that the Father created to its proper place and order. That means to bring each one of us home out from under the reign of sin, in under the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is believing in his resurrection, acknowledging what that means, that he's now Lord of all, and turning toward him with our lives, with our heart, from the core of our being, and saying yes to Jesus and allowing him to forgive us for our sins so that we can become a new creation in baptism. That's really the core, the starting place, the foundation. And if that's missed and the awareness of that is missed and people aren't living with that knowledge, whether they've been baptized or not, they're not where they need to be. That reality needs to become a reality, a personal reality in their own lives. And so I've been talking about how then Peter took that message and how he proclaimed it both on the day of Pentecost, but also then up to Cornelius at that historic moment when the gospel went from the Jews to the Gentiles, when the promise of Israel, now Israel was called to be light to the world. Israel is a light to the world because the Messiah was born in Israel and meant to be a nation who received their Messiah and then communicated the good news of the Messiah to the whole world and crosses over from the Jewish people to the Gentiles. And so Peter began with proclaiming the gospel under God's inspiration to Cornelius, a Roman soldier in his entire household, all who were converted. Now, yesterday, I didn't have a chance to conclude. I concluded the message that Peter proclaimed, which is what we're really focusing on in this week. And Peter's saying, after witnessing to the fact before Cornelius and his household that they saw Jesus work miracles, they saw him drive out demons, and they saw him crucified, and they saw him risen from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father. They bore witness to that fact, the fact of salvation, the fact of Jesus' victory, that is, his saving victory, by destroying the power of death, disarming the reign of the enemy, but passing from death to life. That's the first thing we believe. We believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and that's the game changer. So it's crucial to see, we're not just talking about a good, significant, special religious leader. Christianity's not just saying we have a kind of a higher guru than other people do. or that Jesus is just kinder, gentler, or, you know, Jesus is absolutely entirely unique. There is no other religious leader in the history of humanity that even compares to him. Jesus created every other religious leader that ever lived. I mean, Jesus is the one who brought them into being, free creatures like you and me. But Jesus is the King, the Lord, God himself, the exalted one in whom exists the power of an indestructible life, of eternal life, that he wants to share with all those who are willing to turn back to God and repent and receive it. So this is what Peter tells us in verse 42 of chapter 10. He said, "And Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he's the one ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead." Where does this all end? Where does each individual life end? And where is human history ultimately going to end? How are the scales going to be balanced? What is justice? Who is good? What is true? All of it is in the hands of Jesus of Nazareth. He's the one, the final judge of the living and the dead, and he will make judgment on our lives. He's the one before whom each one of us must stand. That's what Peter's communicating. And he said, to him, all the prophets bear witness. So the whole Old Testament actually is pointing toward the person of Jesus Christ, that, and the prophets in particular tell us, everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of their sins through his name. Do you see how crucial that is? Right at the center, this is what we ended up with last week. What is needed and what Jesus is after is for each one of us to acknowledge our sin-sick condition before God and allow Christ, the great physician, to bring forgiveness to us, his forgiveness, his power. And it comes not by our will, but by the grace of God, by the power of God. It's so important. Now let's jump forward to Acts 26. Here's the account, I've spoken about this in the past, of St. Paul standing before King Agrippa. Paul has been arrested. He's ultimately on his way to Rome. He's going to get there, and he's going to have his head cut off for what he believed. But in this moment, he's standing before King Agrippa and the whole cohort of the king, and they want to know, what happened to you? Why are you here? Why are you a criminal? What is it you're being charged with? So Paul tells him the story of having encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. And in this story, you see Paul's commissioning. And as we read these commissionings, each one of you who is listening today, if you are baptized into Christ, if you're a member of his body, his church, you've been commissioned by the Lord. And it relates precisely, absolutely to the commission that the apostles received from Jesus in terms of the content of what's communicated. So here's Paul. He said, and while he was on the road to Damascus, he said, "I heard a voice saying to me in Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It hurts you to kick against the goads. Why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against what I'm doing?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.'" It's a profound revelation here of what it means to be a member of Christ's body. When we're baptized, we are baptized into Christ. We become a new creation. We become little Christs. We are so united to Jesus now. His life flows through us, the life of his Spirit. The animating power of the Father and Son is given to us, and we become children of God. See, friends, this is so far beyond being part of an organization with a set of moral laws that help us all become better people. It's not just a plan of action for our life. It's not just human beings deciding to rise to a higher council or something that the world or some religious figure has come up with. What we're talking about here is that we're being saved by the action of the God-man of Jesus Christ by virtue of having our sins forgiven and being baptized. And in that action, we are now united to him. We're not just taking his teaching. We're literally united to him. It's not just an exchange of information. It's an exchange of life. We're united to his eternal life. That's what it means, friends, to be saved at this point in our life. And ultimate salvation is when that down payment and the promise of that Holy Spirit that's given to us that only Jesus can distribute. He's the only one that can deposit that life that we need to pass from death to life. He's the only one. That's why he's the only Savior of the world. And so Paul is learning something here from Jesus. Jesus is teaching him, wow, Paul, you're persecuting me when you persecute those who are united to me. That's how united Jesus is to all those who follow him. But then he begins his commission. He says, "But rise and stand upon your feet, For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you to serve and to bear witness to the things which you have seen me and which those which I will appear to you. So just like the apostles, the first 12, he's telling Paul, stand up and I want you to bear witness to what you've seen. I want you to bear witness to me, to what I've told you, how you've experienced me, the fact that I'm alive. I'm commissioning you to be a witness. All right? So that's the same thing each and every one of us are commissioned to in a different way than Paul in terms of what it's going to look like. But the fundamental commission is there. He said, and to those which I appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. So Paul is being commissioned. He's often talked about as the apostle to the Gentiles. The Gentiles was the non-Jewish world. Paul goes forward to, and he says, this is what I want you to do. And this is the key piece, friends. Remember, this is Jesus. Jesus is teaching and commissioning and laying out the plan, the vision, the essential message that needs to be communicated. He's the one who understands what's at stake and why this message is so important and what happens when this message is proclaimed. Verse 18, I send you to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Evangelization seeks to bring light, to open eyes, because those who don't know Christ are in darkness. That's true. It's a truth. They were made for God. They were made by God. They were made to live for the praise of his glory. And those who don't know him remain in darkness. And so Jesus is telling Paul, I want you to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That's what's at stake. The question is, are you going to turn? Are you going to turn from the power of Satan to God? Are you going to turn from darkness to light? For what reason, Jesus says? So that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Why must they turn from darkness to light? Why must they turn from Satan to God? So they can receive forgiveness of their sins. And in the forgiveness of their sins, they can find a place among the sanctified, those who are holy, who are set apart by God. God's holy. Those who come to God and repent of their sins and receive forgiveness and are touched now by the life of the Holy Spirit are made holy by God. God makes us holy. I don't make myself holy, and I don't come to this thing holy. This is part of the struggle, I think, that people have, is they don't want to acknowledge their sin. They don't want to acknowledge a need for anything. I'm good. I'm fine, just as I am. Maybe a little tweaking here or there, but overall, I'm in a great spot. I'm happy with who I am. Well, friend, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to come into everything you were meant to be, you need to be able to receive Jesus Christ. And the capacity or the standing in that kind of an attitude that says, no, I'm good. I don't need anything. I don't have any sin in my life to repent of. I don't need this, is to be in darkness. It's precisely from that condition, that place, to be in disagreement with Jesus' diagnosis of our life, that we must be freed and light must enter into. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.